Welcome to Outsources. I'm your host, Karen Rayforth, and tonight I have two guests. My guests are Dr. Ashley Grice, Director of the Pride Resource Center at Colorado State University up in Fort Collins, and Dr. Morgan Seamont, Director of the Pride Office of the Center for Inclusion and Social Change at CU Boulder. To start with, could each of you share just a little bit about yourself, think a little bit about your context? Dr. Yeah. Grice, do you want to go first?
Absolutely. Ashley Grice, pronounced she, her, and hers. Working as the director of the Colorado State University Pride Resource Center, it's a great opportunity for me coming back to CSU. I actually worked at CSU from 2012 to 2015. I was a resident director, so definitely an exciting time to come back into the space and reconnect with the students. It's a little bit of a culture shock still coming back to Fort Collins, especially coming from the East Coast, moving from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania with my wife and my daughter. We're here and, you know, still trying to get settled and transition back into the city. One of the things that really kind of drew me back to the institution, back to this space in particular is, you know, I just have a lot of pride for CSU. I think, you know, like every higher ed institution, there's just a lot of work to be done. And as a Black, queer, masculine woman in this space, I think we don't see a lot of folks that look like me in these types of roles. And so that was a particularly big part of why I sought out the opportunity to come back and to support our students. Because I think that's, you know, when we think about intersections within the space, it's something that we definitely have some work to do. So it's exciting to be here. I'm excited to be back in Colorado. Definitely call Colorado home, my heart home. So excited to be here in this space.
CSU as well as Fort Collins is lucky to have you back. Dr. Seamont?
I am Morgan. I use he, him, his, and I'm the director at the Pride office at CU Boulder. And I think, like Dr. Grice was saying, that identity is really important in what we bring to our directorships. And I identify as a trans man. And I think I actually transitioned at CU Boulder when I was in grad school. And so I thought that was, as I've seen the school progress and sometimes digress around transgender resources and advocacy, I thought it was really important to bring that aspect to the forefront of my directorship, because frankly, it's our transgender students who we see struggle a lot in comparison to some of our other subpopulations. So I am happy to be here. Like Dr. Grice, I don't know if you went to grad school at CSU, but I actually went to grad school at CU Boulder, and I've been here working full-time since 2014. So I feel like it's been a while, but I'm always learning more about the community here at CU and in Boulder itself. So,
well, we're glad that CU has a Pride office again, because there was a few years there it decided not to have that, which was a little sad for some of us in the community. It was unclear where to find things.
Yes, it was unclear. So, and that was part of the reason we brought the Pride office back, was through a lot of student and staff feedback, we realized that we needed to have a dedicated office for our LGBTQ students and staff.
That's good. I was glad to hear that. We're still in the middle of COVID, even though some people are acting like it's over. I think we're transitioning from a pandemic to an endemic, hopefully. But what impact has COVID had on each of you and your office and your students? I know that's like a three-part question.
Yeah, that question is always a loaded question to me. It's like, it's been personally just very challenging. I think has revealed a lot for me just in terms of, you know, my own personal kind of safety and sense of safety and security, trying to navigate a pandemic with my family and how that shows up for them too. And just a lot of anxiety around like, okay, like, is this, you know, can I do this thing that I once was so, you know, familiar doing? It's stepping out the door and having to ask yourself that question, it creates a lot of stress. It's a lot of unknowns. I know there's I'm finally in a place now where I'm like, okay, like I might be a little bit more comfortable being in social settings. And I'm still in the back of my mind, I'm very cautious of like, okay, is this something that I should be doing, knowing that we're still in a pandemic, knowing that numbers are ebbing and flowing, you know, what am I doing to impact, you know, our progress forward as a nation and as a globally in terms of really getting us to a better place where we can kind of resume what I think I keep hearing is this sense of normalcy. Mm-hmm. And that has significantly impacted our students. I think, you know, what I've heard since stepping into this role back in June is that our students found a sense of home, a sense of security, a sense of safety being here on campus. And so when the pandemic happened and that in-person interaction, that physical space was removed, it really significantly impacted a lot of our students from finding that safe haven for them to be in community where they may not be able to have community at home or places where, you know, that are not here on campus. And so I've seen and I've heard there's been an increase in mental health across our LGBTQI plus communities. And of course, once you add in those intersections, right, you know, for me, I'm very privy to a lot of the things that are happening around the Black community as well. And so when you add in those intersections, it just continues to compound. And I feel that very personally as well.
Mm-hmm. A lot swirling around, mm-hmm. You know, you can't really isolate. Oh, it's this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's scary. It's still scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the things that we've noticed is what also has impacted our students just beyond not having a physical space to go to. And we at C Boulder worked remote for more than a year. So they didn't have, you know, face-to-face contact with staff. But we found that once we've come back is our student groups are struggling in ways that we haven't seen before. So certain events that, you know, haven't happened for 2 years, the past executive leadership wasn't able to pass along the information of, well, this is how you run an event for 1,000 people. So we've all had to come together and work in ways much more sort of co-sponsorship rather than they just taking the lead. We've found that working together has both increased our relationship, but like all of us, since we weren't in relationship for a couple of years, we also struggle with how do we reform those close working relationships that we used to have. It's been super challenging, both for the students and for all of us personally. I realize I don't work well at home because my cat Elton John really wants attention all day if I'm there. So it's yeah, it's been such a struggle. One thing that we were able to do during the pandemic is send out care packages, which of course we never did when we were in person. And I think that that was something that helped us feel connected to our students and students feel connected to us. And so to be honest, we're continuing that even though we're in person, just because there's still a lack or a sense of loss around what happened to that close, tight-knit community that used to come into the center every day and would laugh and joke and, you know, we all knew each other. Like those care packages are still important because not everybody is back on campus or is back in community in a way that they were pre-pandemic.
Social isolation is bad for people. We know that. But this one has perhaps hit the LGBTQ and communities of color even harder. What are your observations about that?
I think for myself, what we've noticed a lot is clearly virtual community is not the same as in-person community. And folks who were in the middle of transitioning or coming out or entering some new stage in their life, without that same sense of community where you could just drop into somebody's office or go out for coffee, whatever that might be, it's been a lot harder. You feel kind of like you're back in the old days where I'm the only person in the world who identifies this way, and I've got to figure out all of this on my own, reaching out and trying to ensure that our students and staff know, hey, we are still here. We'd love to talk with you. We'd love to help you with any of those challenges that you might be facing, but it's just not the same. We can't recreate that sense of physical community where you could just drop in, and even if you don't want to talk about your challenges, just being with people who identify in the same way, who you know have gone through the same struggles, and hey, they're still sitting here today with a smile on their face, so they got through it. Without that same sense, it's been so difficult sometimes to just feel connected. So I can't wait for us to enter a new phase of the endemic, I hope, and move forward in at least a more physical way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll just add that I think it's been interesting because I've gotten a mixed bag of, you know, how the social isolation has impacted some of our students. Particularly, some students are very appreciative of the isolation and having the agency to determine when they can, you know, when they want to be back in person. And so for us, we've noticed that when we do transition to, you know, as we're navigating like this kind of, I think, ongoing hybrid approach to a lot of our programmings, and, you know, acknowledging that there is an importance of being in person and community while also still being mindful that, you know, especially when we think, again, going back to those intersections, like we have folks who are immunocompromised, we have folks who have different abilities who, you know, aren't able to, you know, engage in the vaccinations process in the same way that other folks are. And so while the isolation, you know, has been hard, it's like on top of that, the way we're approaching and continuing to approach, you know, the pandemic has also impacted our community across those intersections very differently. I think for me as a Black individual, I appreciated the isolation. I definitely am much more productive working from home. I feel like I can get more done. And since I've returned to the office, it's been really hard to, because my things get, I get pulled in so many different directions. You know, I leave my door open and students are popping in, or, you know, things pop up randomly. So it's like, it's a great thing that students are coming in and are still finding community in our physical space, but we're still, you know, trying to manage like the mask mandates on campus, the vaccination, you know, requirements on campus. And so some of that is still creating some challenge for folks in terms of how to figure out what isolation means, what social distancing means in our physical space. But I am excited to get back to like, okay, like now we can kind of start figuring out how to navigate this new normal. And I think that's important for us to continue to grapple with.
Yeah, as we're kind of all learning together, it's figuring it out. And I think running a Pride Officer Center is like a three-ring circus or a five-ring circus, because there's a lot of administrative work and there's a lot of planning and programming. And then there's a lot of just need from students. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Outsources. I'm your host, Karen Rayforth, and I'm speaking with the director of the CSU Pride Resource Center, Dr. Ashley Grice, and the director of the Pride Office, Dr. Morgan Seamont. What kinds of needs have you seen surface, you know, that maybe our listeners might not be aware of, that some of our LGBTQIA students are experiencing from all of these things that have been going on, whether it's impacts from off the pandemic or some of the civil unrest and racial reckoning or economic devastation that some people may be experiencing, or health, mental health. You just like pick a topic.
Yeah, all of the above, right? I mean, I know for us, we've seen a significant need for just additional mental health support, mental health services, and just helping our students continue to navigate not only just the pandemic, but just the world that, you know, we continue to live in, where, you know, our students are invalidated in various ways, both within our institutions and outside. I think, you know, one of the things that I've been really trying to be conscious around is like, how do we, you know, we say our LGBTQ students, you know, matter. However, you know, we don't count them in ways that create access, greater access for support and resources, visibility. And so I think that, you know, some of those pieces continue to just kind of add to some of the ways in which our students are having to navigate their own identities, whether they're experiencing, you know, dysphoria around any of their identities, on campus, off campus, when the world is telling you still in 2022 that, you know, you're not valid, and, you know, there's folks who are constantly fighting to invalidate your existence. I think that's just the mental health piece is a huge part, and we're, you know, we're trying to figure out how do we manage that with the shortage of staffing. I think this pandemic has revealed that we have to invest more in our profession and in our professional staff that makes sense for survival, realistically. And I think that trickles down to how we're able to support our students in various ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Karen, I'd have to agree that all of the above are really pretty severe challenges that our students are facing. But I think one of the things that has been lost most because of the pandemic is that access to what resources are. I'm sure all of us have a sense of how queer community works, and that we pass along information verbally to each other when we chat or when we're at the bar or at the coffee shop. And, you know, hey, there's this new doctor in town who's a lesbian, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think we've lost a lot of that. Students don't know what resources are available to them on campus because they haven't had upperclassmen be able to share what those resources are. So sort of pick any area where they're experiencing challenges in, and we have lost that ability to communicate how to solve those problems in an underground or grassroots way, where the queer community has always been very successful at, you know, like, I know how to work around the system, but if you don't have anyone to tell you how to work around that system, it becomes a greater challenge. So, yeah. And like Dr. Grice said, the intersectionality of various identities within our community can really impact how affected you have been by both the pandemic and the fires, the, you know, economic changes that we've experienced, the employment changes that we've experienced, which have always been a particular challenge for LGBT community folks. So
all of it. So at this point, what do you think you're going to try to focus on, given that there's so much that needs to be done? And as Ashley, you keep, you know, you're reminding us, as well as Morgan, all these things are intersecting, sometimes in a good way and sometimes in a bad way, all these issues, as well as all these students' identities, are enhancing and confounding the many issues that they're faced with, that they were faced with before COVID. And now everything's wrenched a little bit, maybe even more. And so many things have become more painfully obvious to some of us that we're ignoring other parts of our society and culture, particularly for our communities of color. So what kinds of things are you trying to get done the rest of this academic year, as well as looking forward to next year?
Well, I think one of the traditional events that we've had, the Transforming Gender Conference at CU Boulder, we had to make a call early on about whether that would be virtual or in person, and we decided for virtual. But that conference really connects the CU campus population with the community population. It's sort of a town and gown event, if you will. And so we're holding that again this March. And we've got a great lineup that we're actually announcing tomorrow for the conference. And Sam Fetter will be our keynote speaker. He's the director of the film Disclosure, which is currently on Netflix, about transgender visibility. But holding big events like that does get our community excited, and they feel a sense of some sort of sense of normalcy and being able to, if not get together in person, then at least see a Zoom room full of trans people, which, you know, is rare. You don't get to hang out as much with your LGBTQ plus population anymore. So having normal events like that, and then having some, you know, more specialized things such as us sending out our care packages as just a reminder that, hey, we're here, we're back, our office is open. You know, these are some of the resources we have. We'd love to talk with you, meet you. We're holding some new events called Queers and Cakes this semester, where honestly, we just get together and eat some cake and talk. We just need some fun events too to take our minds off of everything that is happening, and with the wildfires and then the King Super shooting in 2020, our students are still recovering. Our community is still recovering. There's a sense of uncertainty and certainly a sense of loss of safety in some degree. So just being able to have those events where we realize there is still a community. You may have to look for it in a different way than you did pre-pandemic, but we're still here for you.
And I'll add, and that's super exciting. I'm like, ooh, we're in the same kind of strategy pathway, just in terms of, you know, in addition to just trying to maintain, you know, one of the things that I hope to bring into this role and hope to continue to bring into this role is a sense of healing and joy. I think we get so bogged down with a lot of the systemic and the institutional barriers that impact our communities that it's hard to find joy in who we are and how we exist. And so similar to Morgan, we definitely are hosting and continuing to host programs throughout the semester that promote community and togetherness, with being mindful, you know, of like, hey, do we need to, you know, create a hybrid opportunity and option for those who are in our community who still are not ready to be back in person. So we're being mindful of that. We're hosting a small clothing swap actually this week, the 9th through the 11th, just to, you know, keep students, you know, excited about, you know, as the seasons change, as the semesters change, as our persons change and evolve, we want to create an opportunity for community to come together, and faculty, staff, and students are able to bring in clothes. And it's something that I think we've done in the past, where folks can come and donate clothes and take clothes for free that suit kind of their needs and representation. So that's something that we're doing this week, which is really exciting, in addition to continuing to do our Lavender graduation. But something that I'm hoping is something we are able to execute is we are bringing back our drag show to campus. And so we're working with a few campus partners and hoping to host a drag show in April, which will be open to the community. And so that's something that hopefully I can say stay tuned for. We're hoping to line out the logistics for that. But yeah, I think it's just, you know, really maintaining and really reminding folks that even in the midst of a pandemic, there is still joy to be had. And I think that is a big part of our healing as we move forward.
I saw you use the word joy up on your website, and I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know that I've seen that in higher education. The word joy? What? We're so serious. So I was pleased to see that. We've only got a few minutes left, but I was wondering if there's anything in particular you wanted to make sure that our listeners heard or underscored from you that was important for you to get across with these last couple minutes.
Well, since Dr. Grice brought it up, I will also mention that CU is planning a drag show in April as well. Normally our drag show is in October, but had to be postponed. So ours will be April 17th from 7 to 9 p.m. And that is also open to the public. So perhaps you can go to CSUs and CUs, get your drag on anywhere you can, have a little celebratory party, and get some joy out of life for a change. Our Transforming Gender Conference will be March 5th. That's a Saturday. It'll start at 10:30 a.m. and we'll have four different sessions. And in each session, you'll have three different workshops to choose from. So you can check out that schedule on our main website page, colorado.edu/CISC, the Center for Inclusion and Social Change. And beyond just the events, I would hope that people take away the fact that there is still community, and we are still here to help you with anything that you want to chat about, talk about, are challenged by, you know, unique situations you might be facing. You're not alone. We are desperately sitting here waiting for you to come and talk to us, sort of thing. That's what I feel like sometimes. And like, you can always reach out to us. I'm sure you can always reach out to CSU, whether you're a community member or a student. We can direct you in the right to the right place where you can find some help that you might need.
Thank you both. I hope our listeners understand what kind and generous and welcoming centers that you are running, and as individuals, how much you are clearly caring and committed and there for our students and for the public, it sounds like, as well. There are some services that you can offer up to the broader Fort Collins and Boulder area, and hopefully people will find a way to join in the community when it's appropriate. So thank you both very much. I hope you stay well, and I appreciate your time in joining us. You've been listening to Dr. Ashley Grice and Dr. Morgan Seamont, directors from Pride Center at CSU and CU. You can listen every Monday evening from 6:30 to 7 on KGNU Radio, or you can go to our news blog at news.kgnu.org/outsources, or check out the archives anytime you want of any of our many shows on kgnu.org/outsources. I'm your host, Karen Rayforth. Good evening.